Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.
So they were not going to arrange and set anything. In fact, for the same reason that the man was carrying the vase was for the feast they were about to have there. So water was ready, wine was ready, bread was ready. But when he said, make ready for us, he was saying that there's an atmosphere that must be created to create fitness in the enjoyment of what has been made available. So today I want you to understand this. The finished work is before you. It's up to you to decide to partake. Is somebody here? It's up to you to what? Decide to partake. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible gave a very interesting scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2, the verse 21. It said, hearing are ye called, because Christ has suffered for us, leaving for us an example that we should walk therein. Christ has suffered for us, 1 Peter 2:21, leaving for us an example. Some say leaving for us an example. That word leaving for us an example is the word hypogrammos. And hypogrammos is actually in today's educational system what we call my first copybook. So he's saying that Christ has suffered for us to follow in the same footsteps as him. Like how you learn how to write the alphabet A when you go to school. You will see that when you take that book, A has already been written. Then there's a way you should write the A. The dashes are put there. Then you take your pencil and just retrace how the A should be written. So that's what he's trying to say. So it means that you cannot work a work that Jesus has not already worked. Yeah. So the only work that works is the finished work. Yeah. The only work that can work is the finished work. If it's not the finished work, it will never work. Are you ready tonight? So why are the Christians of today struggling with experiencing the finished work? And that's why I said today I want to get into it a bit. Tomorrow we'll touch on my final submission. But let's quickly turn our Bibles to Psalm 89, the verse 14. It said, "And righteousness and justice or judgment shall be the habitation of thy throne." The word right justice, the same righteousness. "And mercy and truth shall go before thy face." Then the next verse says, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance." Can we all read together? One, two, go. Oh no, verse 15. Verse 15. Go back to 15, please. Verse 15. One, two, go. Verse 15. Hallelujah. Can we repeat it again? All right. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. He said, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound." Not here. No. Not here. Many times we quote this saying, "Blessed is the people that hear." But he's saying that it's one thing hearing, it's understand, it's one another thing understanding what you have heard. He says the blessedness is not in hearing the joyful sound. The blessedness is in knowing what the joyful sound is all about. He says when you now know what that joyful sound is, Bible says you will automatically walk in the light of his countenance. Now the word blessed, Amplified Classics is fortunate, to be envied, blessed, fortunate, to be envied. But the Hebrew translates it as one of the names of the sons of Jacob, Asher. So when you translate it from that word, Asher, it means happy is the people that know the joyful sound. Can I announce to you, ladies and gentlemen, I said to you yesterday in the service in Matthew chapter 22, God never invites you to assist him to prepare a table. He prepares the table in front of you in the presence of your enemies. What it means is that 1 Corinthians 5:8 says, we have been called to a feast. Tell your neighbor, Christianity is a feast. So we have been called to keep the feast. So the Bible says in Isaiah 25, wines on the lees, full of marrow. We have been called to a feast. We have been called to a feast. I want you to say it again. I've been called to a feast. Because according as has given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. But he now said in verse 3 of 2 Peter chapter 1, that according as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, unto whom has called us to glory and virtue. You were not called to shame and disgrace. You were called to glory and virtue. Say, I've been called to glory. I've been called to virtue. Praise the Lord. So I want you to understand that we have been called to a feast. God prepared everything and made an invitation for us. If you don't understand that that's where your Christianity starts from, you are going to really struggle and make insult and nonsense to what Jesus did on the cross. So blessed, happy are the people that know the joyful sound. Oh Lord, they shall dwell and walk in thy countenance. The word countenance is face or presence. The word countenance is the word panim, face or presence. It's the same word that was used when he said that in Psalm 16, the verse number 11, that and thou shalt show me the path, not a path, the path of life. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness. So the path of life cannot be life if God's presence is not there. It cannot be called the path of life. It cannot be the place where life is emanating from if the presence of the Lord is not there. He said, in the presence of the Lord are fullness of joy, at his right hand pleasures forevermore. Then he says, indeed is a fountain of life, and in thy light we see light. Psalm 36 verse 9. Now this picture of the presence of the Lord that he's talking about had to do with something that was so remotely important that men that had encountered it understood how it worked. Now in Exodus 33, the verse number 1, Moses appeared before God after many conversations. And when he appeared before the Lord, the Bible said, the Lord said unto Moses, depart, go up hence, thou and the people thou hast brought from Egypt, unto the land that I swore unto your father Abraham, unto Isaac, and to Jacob. He says, saying, unto thy seed I give this land. Then verse 2 says, my angel, I will send my angel before you, and he shall drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivites, and the Jebusite. God said, I will send my angel, and I will drive them out with my angel. But Moses looked at this deal and said, I don't like this deal, sir. I don't like this deal. He said to the Lord, if I have found grace and favor in your sight, can you go with us yourself? So God can send the angel and you will have the same result. But the problem with the angel is that he can only function as commanded. Anything that rises up, the angel might be handicapped. So Moses said, I don't want your angel with that command. I want yourself. You yourself go, because the angel is to drive. But when you go with us, in case we are hungry, in case we are thirsty, beyond driving the enemy, you can provide our sustenance. So Moses said, if I found favor. Then the Lord said to him, he says, I will go with you, and my presence will be with you, and I'll bring you to rest. Exodus 33:14. When you read the good news, I'm just linking it to yesterday's message so I can take off. In the Good News Bible, he says, my presence shall be with you, and I will give you victory. So rest is actually victory. Tell your neighbor, rest is your victory. How do I know this? In the valley of Rephidim, Moses sat on top of the mountain. And in the valley, Joshua was fighting. And every time his hand was lifted, they won. Every time his hands were tired, they lost. God was saying that you are not winning this battle by your sword. So that the psalmist was true to say in Psalm 44 verse 3, he says, and they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither were they saved by their own arm, but by the presence and the right hand of the Lord. So while they were wielding swords, there was a sword behind the sword. So like Pastor said, rest is not sleeping. Rest is not laziness. Rest is Holy Ghost inspired activity. Holy Ghost inspired act. I'm repeating. Holy Ghost inspired act. When someone asks you, are you in rest? And they see you doing something and they don't understand. Tell them Holy Ghost word inspired activity. That is what we call rest. Praise the Lord. So this is what the presence of the Lord brought. It brought them victory. Then Moses said in verse 15, we will not go up hence if your presence is not with us. That's what Moses said. Because he was articulating to us something very important concerning how God deals with us. When he said, if you know the joyful sound, you will walk in his countenance and his face. He was giving a picture of how he dealt with Abraham. In Genesis chapter 17 verse 1, after Abraham in Genesis 16:16 had had Ishmael, Bible says, and Abraham was 86 years when he begat Ishmael. That was Genesis 16, the verse 16. Then the next verse is Genesis 17:1. And when Abraham was 99 years, the Lord appeared to him and said, Abraham, walk before me and be perfect. He didn't say walk after me. He didn't say walk with me. He said walk before me. Because he was articulating a certain operation of a father and a son. You see, your child can decide to climb a tree when they see you standing there. Because when they see you standing there, they know if they slip and they fall, you will catch them. So actually, God was telling Abraham, walk before me. Be yourself. Feel free. He was telling him, walk in liberty. Walk in freedom as you do things in my presence. And that's what Moses realized. That we can't go into this land without the liberty from God. Is somebody here? Are you sure you are here? So what he's trying to say is this. When you know the joyful sound, you can be free in God's presence. When you know the joyful sound, you will not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. When you know the joyful sound, you know where you are supposed to be. You know what God has done for you. You can walk in delight. You can walk in peace. You can walk in favor. Every morning you wake up, you know the joyful sound. So your life is constantly a beaming advertisement of the finished work of Jesus Christ. People can't come to Christ today because your face is a somber discouragement of the new creation. You are a poor advertisement that Jesus died. The way you wake up with a frown face and you say Jesus loves you, the person is wondering, does he love you too? Does he love you too? One day a certain missionary met a certain king and he looked at a discourse with his senior missionary. He went to preach to this king in Zululand and he said, let me tell you something. Jesus has died for you, and because he has died for you, your sins are forgiven. And this king said, wow, my sins are forgiven? He went around about his palace 7 times, came back to the missionary, he says, did he die for you too? Because the way you are saying it and the way I have heard it and I'm dancing, it seems he died for only me and not you. The reason sometimes people don't come to Christ is because you that are preaching, you look very discouraged, you look very morose, you look very down. But I came to tell you, happy is the people that know the joyful sound. If you know, you'll be excited. I can tell what you are meditating on when I look at your face. But you can be walking and just be smiling. Aish. And the first thing that dawns on you is like, Jesus loves me. This I know. Father. He said, you just know Jesus loves you. Unconditional love. You know that anytime you are driving in the presence of the Lord. You know that anytime you are moving, you are like a child in his countenance. Wherever you walk, he is watching over you. Wherever you dance, wherever you sit, the Lord is watching you in all your going out and your coming in. So every time you remember it, you just smile. Because you know. So the reason why a lot of us are not excited or walking in the light of his countenance is because our conscience is fighting us. We don't know the joyful sound. And today I want to share with you what the joyful sound is. I want to share with you what the joyful sound is. Tell your neighbor, the joyful sound. Tell me about the joyful sound. All right. We have been invited to a holy, intimate walk with the Almighty God. A prestigious position angels have loved and desired, but they never got it. Because when Hebrews spoke, he took not on himself the fashion of angels, but he took on himself the seed of Abraham. The Greek actually says that he did not render assistance to angels, but he rendered assistance to the seed of Abraham. What he was saying was that when Lucifer was misbehaving in heaven, Jesus didn't show up to assist Lucifer and Michael and the other angels from being deceived, but he rather rendered assistance on us. So he actually took hold means he didn't engage the angels, he engaged the seed of Abraham. So when he got to our tent, God couldn't sit down for us to walk in rebellion. God had to intervene.
Come on.
But he didn't do the same for the angels. He intervened in our case. He loves you. Ha! He loved you before you were born. Before you ever took your first breath, he said to Jeremiah, I knew you. I called you a prophet before you became a blood clot in your mother's womb. And the last time I checked, sir, Jeremiah 31:3 says, I have loved you for an everlasting love. That means if you love me before I came, there's nothing I'm doing now that will change his love. That is why when I go to hell, he will ask the missionary, why didn't you preach to them? If a saint, if a soul is hated by God, God will not require their blood from us. That means even the soul in hell, God is still looking for somebody to deliver them from that hell. That tells you the extent of his love. God didn't love the Christian, he loved the world. He loved the world. So your worldliness. So that Paul was right to say in Romans 5 verse 8. Oh, God commended his love towards us while we were sinners, so that Christ died for us. Ha. So every day you wake up, you say, my God, you love me. Oh. This, your love is too much. I don't understand. No wonder Paul said, when you comprehend, then you will now be flooded with all the fullness of God, because you now understand the extent of God's love concerning your life. Do you know how you become more than a conqueror? He said, yea, in all these things, Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors, not by prayer, not by fasting, through him that has loved us. So every day you wake up and you are walking and you are going to fight a battle and you recognize he lost me, you win. So the method by which you exert your more than conqueror status is knowing that through him there is a love behind this fight. There's a love behind this war. And so I'm more than a conqueror. You lose when you say God is against you. You lose. Hallelujah. All right, so quickly, let's just get into. Let's go back to Psalm 89, the verse 15. Can we put that scripture up there? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Psalm 89 verse 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Verse 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. For they shall walk in thy countenance. O Lord, they shall walk in thy countenance. Psalm 89 verse 15. He said, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. I want to address the joyful sound in two aspects. And there's a reason for that. Number one, according to Leviticus chapter 25, the verse number 9, let's go there. I want us to see this one because, hey, is somebody here? Leviticus is summarized in the book of Colossians. When Paul said, let no man beguile you in your meat, your drink, in your Sabbath, in your holiday, in your new moon. He was talking of everything Leviticus spoke about. Because it's in Leviticus we speak about the seventh feast. It's in Leviticus there was dietary instruction. It was in Leviticus we spoke about the Sabbath and the Sabbath of Sabbath, Jubilee. So everything in Leviticus was actually summarized in Colossians chapter 2. He says, all these things are shadows, but Christ is the substance. So when I say we are addressing the joyful sound two ways, I'm talking of the shadow and I'm going to show you the substance. Are we okay on that one? Okay. Now, in Leviticus chapter 25, the verse 9 and 10, the Lord said, thou shalt blow the trumpet of the jubal. Can we go there, please? I want us to all see it. I don't want this scripture to pass over your head. If it's possible, please write it. I know this church. All of you are Bereans. You go and check again the things I say, so that you can accept what we are saying. Leviticus 25, verse 9. Leviticus 25, 9. Let me read it. Then shall thou cause the trumpet of the jubal to sound. Alright. On the 10th day of the 7th month, in the day of atonement, ye shall make the trumpet sound throughout all the land. Verse 10. Ye shall hallow the 50th year, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubal unto you, and ye shall return every man his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. Now, this is something we call the jubilee. And it says in the jubilee, a trumpet had to be blown. That trumpet that was blown was called the yobel. Yobel. But that trumpet that was blown reference the equipment as shofar, but the way it was blown in jubilee was called yobel. I don't want to get into much of that, but so he said, blow the trumpet in that time, in the 50th year, which was the Sabbath of Sabbath. 7 years, 7 times 7 times 7. So 7 years times 7 years, that was 49 years. In the 50th year, you blow the trumpet. So it was called the Sabbath of Sabbaths. It was such an important occasion. All of Israel was anticipating that day. In fact, they called it in the Hebrew dialect, the debtors' year. It was the year for those who owed anything. So if you owe money in Jubilee, your debt is canceled. If your children are in slavery to pay off a debt, he says you have to go free. If you owe anything, mortgage, you've not paid for a house, you've not paid for a land, the land must be returned to you after you used it as collateral. Imagine we had Jubilee today. And think about it. Your student loan, the bank loan, your electric bill, your water bill, your house rent, the office loans you've taken, the student loan you took, the scholarship from the company, and you have to sign a bond and come back and work with the company another 10 years. Imagine it is in our day. Do you know what will happen? Anytime they tell you in 2 years' time is Jubilee, you can't wait. So the problem with the church is that we don't know we are in an everlasting jubilee. That is why we are not excited. Because if you were excited, they were waiting. They said, this thing, we cannot work off the debt. Because some of the debt, if you calculate it, it goes even beyond your children. So the only way this will end is that jubilee must show up. So the contract is terminated. He said, if you have a slave, remember in 2 Kings chapter 4, the widow came to the prophet and says, man of God, my husband was part of the school of the prophets and our children are in slavery. So if you owed something you couldn't pay, they come for your children. So some people's children were not in their house. They were working in somebody's field. So it is by jubilee you get to be reunited with your family. Listen. So they were waiting for that day. In fact, Flavius Josephus, one of the historians of Christian antiquity, says, he says, the day of Jubilee was such an anticipated day. Everybody was standing in alertness. Because if they don't hear the sound, the slavery will continue. If they don't hear the sound, this house will not return to me. If they don't hear the sound, this debt that I owe, I must find a way to pay. So actually, the whole nation was waiting for that sound. And this Sabbath of Sabbath happened on a day called the Day of Atonement, the Yom Kippur. That Day of Atonement, if you play with words, atonement means at one meant. They became one with God on only one day. So the Hebrew believe that the name of Lucifer, Shiatan, is numerically calculated 300 shin, then 60 Shiatan, his name in the Hebrew. The Greek is Titan. In the Hebrew is Shiatan. And Shiatan in the Hebrew has a numeric value. Remember, Antichrist has a numeric value. 666. The name of Satan also has a... But the name of Satan has a numeric value of 364. Because they believe that there was only one day all the days of the Jew, they knew because of the law. Now, Satan was a chief lawyer. He is called the antidicos. He is called the adversary, 1 Peter 5:8. He is a vehement opposing lawyer, so that even God asked him when he entered heaven, have you considered? It means he has vetted Job. And he says, Job is a righteous man because you've protected him. So he saw a hedge Job never saw, because he was vetting men on earth. He said, from whence are you coming? He said, I've been going to and fro the earth, looking for anybody who has fallen short of your standard. That was his work in heaven. Thou hast walked between the coals of God. He was one of the angels responsible for God's throne. And the throne of God is established on righteousness and justice. So anybody who falls short of it is in contempt of the administration of God. That was Lucifer's job. So when the law was given, Satan laughed, because he knew there is no way. Why? Hebrews chapter 10 verse 2. He says, the sacrifices that they offered had no way and power to purify the conscience of them that brought the offerings thereof. It means if you fornicated and they caught you in the act, and you are bringing a lamb to appease for your sin, still in your heart, even though they are killing the lamb, lust is still breathing. So the sacrifice didn't remove the conscience of sin. So they were offering their offering with the conscience of sin still in their heart. That's what he was saying. So when the law came, Paul said in the book of Hebrews, the law in Hebrews chapter 7 made nothing perfect, but in bringing a better hope it did. So the law was feasting day for Satan. No wonder no priest could sit. That's why I said in Hebrews chapter 10, the verse 11, it's the offerings and sacrifices which were unable to purify and cleanse the people of their sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice, he sat down. Jesus is the only priest who could sit down. So no priest had a chair, because by the time you finish the bull and you come out, somebody has lied. By the time you are done, somebody just killed another man's animal. So they never sat, because their sacrifices, Jesus, are you here? Please, are you here? After the finish work, we can use 30 years to preach it. Redemption has not been exhausted enough, I'm telling you. So this is a very poor attempt to summarize in this short time. Listen to this. Listen to this. Listen to this. So what was happening was this. Israel is anticipating the sacrifice, because the moment the sacrifice is accepted, something is going to happen in the nation. When the sacrifice is accepted, a yobel is blown. Now the word yobel in the Hebrew is the word ram's horn. Ram's horn. Every time it was blown, it was blown in a certain way. Pooh! Pooh! Then you hear the people shout, hey! Because actually, other translation says, blessed is the people that know the joyful shout. Not sound, shout. So there was a sound and there was a shout. In fact, that's how a rapture will be. Because the Lord himself will descend with a shout, with the trump of God and the voice of the archangel. Because there was a substance to that day. Atonement. 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 So as soon as that yobel was sounded, they knew something has happened. This year, freedom. Slaves have been left free. In fact, the Bible says, in verse 10 of Leviticus 25, that word proclaim liberty, the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew, is the word ephesis, which represents forgiveness. You are captured because of your sin. And that's why redemption is primarily about forgiveness of sins. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Then he explains it further in a good English sentence in Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, comma, even the forgiveness of sins. That means redemption is the forgiveness of sins. But the word ephesis is not God forgetting what you have done. It is actually a principle. Now I'm going to show you that principle. Can I show you the principle? Can I? Now, when this priest did what he did, like I said, that year of Jubilee, every debt was canceled. Everything that was owed was cleared. Everyone that was supposed to be free was made free. Lands were returned to their previous owners. Every mortgage system was reverted to the original owners of the land because Jubilee has been declared. It was called the debtor's year. It was the year where every debt was totally canceled. Now listen to this. If that was the shadow in the old, Christ also did something. Because in those days, the Bible says something interesting. Before atonement in Luke, in Leviticus chapter 16, Aaron must offer a young bull. After he offers a young bull, he must offer a ram. Then after he offers the ram, he must look for two scapegoats. One must be killed in the temple. One must be sent to the desert. You know why? The idea was that the bull that Aaron killed was for his own sin. The ram was for his righteousness. But the scapegoat was to give, number one, memorial that blood has been spilled on behalf of the nation. Number two, the scapegoat was released into the desert to be eaten by animals. So those scapegoats never returned. The idea behind it was that God didn't forgive you as far as the north is from the south. He forgave you and forgot your sins as far as the east is from the west. Because you see, there is an end point of the north pole. There's an end point of the south pole. If God forgave you according to the north and south, one day you will meet your sins. But he forgave you east to west. In fact, time will fail me. If you enter the temple, the tabernacle, the movement of the priest was not north-south. It was east-west, east-west. The reason it was so was because anytime you are going eastward, you are getting closer to west. Then when you go westward, you are getting closer to east. So you never meet east. Neither do you ever meet west. The idea was, when God forgives, the word ephesis is to totally divorce, to totally divorce your sins from you, so that he can boldly say in Ephesians, in Romans chapter 8, who shall lay any charge against God's elect? Who? It is he that justifies. So the one to lay the charge is actually the one justifying you. That means nobody on earth, because you didn't sin against your mother, you didn't sin against your cousin, you sinned against God. And the God you sinned against is the one who justifies. Hi. Are you here? Are you here? So something happened. If Aaron is doing this, the Bible says Aaron has a work he does. And after he does this, scripture said in Exodus 28, the verse 35, and it shall be upon Aaron to minister, and Aaron shall produce a sound when he goeth into the holy place, and when he cometh out also, that he die not. Exodus 28, the verse 35. So when he's going, Aaron must produce a sound, so that when he enters or he comes out, we will know he's alive. And that sound tells us that the sacrifice has been received. Do you know, once upon a time, the Bible now explains the work of Jesus Christ. Oh, he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The reason he said he's not ashamed of the gospel is because the gospel is shameful. Don't get it. In Galatians 5 verse 11, go there. Paul was preaching and he says, if I preach the law, nobody will accuse me. But because I preach grace, the Bible says there's an offense of the cross. The word offense is scandalon. There's a scandal of the cross. What scandal is that? Life says, do good, get good. Then a man shows up and he breaks that scandal. He breaks that potent law called the elements of the world. It's called the stoichion, the law of do good and get good. And Christians have brought stoichion to the church. Because I am a virgin, I will get a husband. It's a lie. The fact that you've been serving in church means that you will do well in life. It's a lie. God rewards faith, not faithfulness. Hey. Faithfulness is for heaven. Faith is for earth. So a new girl will enter church. After 7 abortions, will get a good man. She is not faithful, but she's in faith. Yes. Oh, so Jesus gave us the example of these two people. One said he's a publican. One said he's a Pharisee. Publican says, "Sir, you know I'm a sinner. So I beg you, hear my prayer." But the Pharisee said, "I'm not like that sinner." So sometimes in church, that's how we behave. We question why somebody has something. If you don't operate by grace, you automatically slip into competition. That's why all your question is, how did you get it? Not who gave it to you. Grace gives by choice. Oh, did you read the Bible says? Can I? Oh, Lord, help me. In Psalm 80, sir. In Psalm 80, he says, "Oh, thou that leadeth Joseph like a flock." He said, "Oh, shepherd of Israel, thou that leadeth Joseph like a flock, thou that dwelleth between the cherubims of glory, shine forth." He was talking about the mercy seat and the ark of God. But do you know that cherubims of glory is where we have the mercy seat? In the New Testament, it's no more called mercy seat. You quote it a lot of time, but you've not taken time to study it. Hebrews chapter 4. Let us come to the throne of grace. So in the New Testament, mercy has been replaced by grace. You know why? Luke 1:72. God was telling us how Jesus came. That Jesus came according to the promise he has performed. He has performed a promise. Look at the Luke 1:72. He says there is a promise that he has caused him to perform the mercy which he promised the fathers. So there is a mercy he has performed. Look at this. Luke 1:72. Why are we 72, please? He said, "I performed the mercy promised to your fathers." And what was that mercy? 78. He says, "Through the tender mercies of the Lord, the day star from on high has visited us." So Jesus came because of mercy. Nobody asked God to send him. We deserve death, but mercy is God giving you, not giving you, what you deserve. We didn't deserve Jesus. So he said that thing he did, he sent Jesus to us by mercy. But when mercy appeared, he said the grace of God has appeared. So mercy sent him. Ha! But grace is what manifested. Because Jesus is not God giving you what you don't deserve. Jesus is not God giving you what you don't deserve. Jesus is actually God's undeserving, unmerited, unfathomable gift to you. He is called grace. Everything Jesus is, you don't deserve one bit. You don't deserve one bit. That's why we come to the throne of grace. And listen to the language. At the throne of grace, we obtain mercy. The word, it means mercy is sitting there. But it is grace we are not finding. You know why? Because a lot of us, when we come to the throne, we are using effort. We've not yet found grace. So when you come to the throne of grace, he is telling you, drop your effort and start leaning on him. Hallelujah. So sometimes you want to go and slap an enemy. But the Lord said, "Are you in my presence now?" He said, "Yes." "Do you want grace now?" He said, "Yes." "Go sing." He said, "Lord, I should sing." He said, "Sing." He said, "Lord, the doctor says it's not working." I said, "Go and sing. You are found. If you obey, you found grace. But if you don't obey, though you came to the throne of grace, you obtained mercy, sir. That means the judgment of death will not find you. But you will still be lurking around the throne, having not found grace. So you want to pray. Matula ta 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 ta. Osakapa. We send fire. It's good though. But fire can only be sent when God has instructed. Moses didn't go and find them committing idolatry. It's the Lord who told him on the mountain. He said, "Moses, he was just before the Lord." Genesis, in Exodus 32, sir, worshiping. In the glory. And the Lord whispered and said, "Moses, the people you brought have started worshiping idol. Get down now." That means that, sir, he wants you to spend time with him enough. He will tell you that enemies are coming. Rise up and start shooting. Hey! Hey! We'll try that tomorrow. Let me stick to the... The Bible says, sir, I want to show you this joyful sound. The Bible said, when the day of Jubilee was announced, it was the greatest day of their lives. There was celebration. There was excitement. There was glory. You know why? That anticipation was because when the priest was entering the Holy of Holies, if you have been good that year and your priest was rejected, you are rejected. That's it. Yes, sir. If you
you have also been horrible that year and your priest was accepted, you are accepted. So in Christ, your acceptance is not based on what you are doing. Your acceptance is based on Christ's acceptance. That is why I said there is therefore now no condemnation. It means if you condemn Adam, you should have condemned Christ. For anyone that be in Christ, condemnation working from outside him. But if I'm in him, to condemn me, you must condemn Jesus first. And the Bible says, so they were anticipating, because they knew, if the priest is fine, then we are fine. That means God, imagine that year you misbehaved, you messed up. Somebody murdered, somebody lied, and the priest has said, I will not serve the sentence of this curse. Because my priest has been accepted, I've been accepted. So I'm free. And that was a shadow. Ladies and gentlemen, that was a shadow. If the blood of bulls and goats could do this, he said, for Christ being made, Makula Kesomar Nalabai, an high priest of good things to come. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. He said he has been made a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. Kamo Satilia Shaba. The Bible said this is what he has come to do. And he said that tabernacle that is more perfect was not made, it was not made with hands. That is to say, not of this building. I'm not talking of this physical tabernacle. Because he said, neither by the blood of goats and calves, neither by the blood of goats and cows, but by his own blood. He entered once to obtain, having obtained eternal redemption. So listen to this language. Lord help me. Do you know, sir, the word once in the Greek is the word hapax. And hapax is numerical, yet it's also cumulative. What it means is this. When you have DSTV, you pay monthly subscription, Abi. But hapax is not monthly subscription. Hapax is like you owe a bill. And the bill you owe, they summarize all the TV watchings and the month's payments. And they land it as one-time payment. So he's saying Jesus didn't die with monthly subscription. Jesus died a death from your till rapture. Every sin, listen, every sin you are yet to sin was forgiven before you said, Lord, sorry. Someone is like, prophet, this is abomination. No, it's not. Oh, sir, the last time I checked, Jesus died AD 32. When he died and he said it is finished, I was not there. So when I got born again in 1997 January, that was at least 1,900 years and 60 years plus. What it means is that when he said you are forgiven in AD 32, I was not there. So 1,960 years later, is still forgiveness, though in my past, from the future. Hey! So you, the way you got born again, is a future action from the day Jesus died. That means the one you are here to do next year is already forgiven. Asia. I don't know. It's, listen, the payment, the word eternal redemption, I just showed you. Redemption is forgiveness. That means you have been eternally forgiven. I'm not saying sin. If grace has been perverted, then it was somebody using it for his personal gain. Grace is the remedy for sin. The last time I checked, a vaccine does not multiply the virus. The vaccine cuts it down. So grace is the antidote. If you, listen, there's a woman called Frances Hildegard. They told her that God has forgiven you all your sins, past, present, future. Because Jesus, the last time I checked, offered his blood through the eternal spirit. So that Romans chapter 3, verse 25, so that he died for the sins which are past. If he died for sins which are past through the forbearance of God, then he has also died for the future sins which is to come. Because to go to the past, you have to enter eternity. So what Adam did, what Lucifer did, Jesus died for all of that. That's why after purging the earth, the blood was needed in heaven to clean. What Who damaged heaven? It was Lucifer. It means why Lucifer stood. Not just where he stood when he rebelled. Why he stood when he returned to accuse you and I. God used blood to clean it. Let me tell you today. Today, Satan cannot stand in front of Jesus. Accuse it. If there's any accusation of the brethren, it is God toward you. He cannot accuse you to God anymore, because the place he walked to come, the blood of Jesus has cleaned all. And if you think I'm joking, he didn't just clean all the dockets, sir, all the files against you. Colossians 2:14 says he blotted all. He took blood and stained all your crimes. Because God is only blind when he sees blood. Because the sin of Israel was in the ark, the rod, the manna, and the tablets. But anytime he looks at it, there was blood on top of it. So when Balaam was about to curse, I have not beheld iniquity. Oh, Lord, these people just insulted you in Numbers 21. And serpents came to bite them, but God said, I have not beheld it. Neither have I seen perverseness. That means that when God sees blood, he is blind. Beyond blood, God cannot see your sin. I'm not saying that stops you from sinning. That's another message. Romans 6:16 says, whom ye obey, his servants you become. So the oppression of sin today is not a separation from God. It's an oppression for you to become Satan's puppet. So anytime you sin, you are saying, Satan, do with me what you want. That's what it means. Because when it comes to the blood of Jesus, on God's side, he has no problem with you again. Because if God has a problem with you, then it means Jesus' payment was not enough. But Jesus is not the sacrifice of Elijah. The fire consumed the bull, burnt the stone, licked the waters. Because the bull was not sufficient for the crime of the nation. Yes. But when it came to Christ, sir, Christ is the reverse. He is the overpayment of the judgment of God. That means that if you owe $1 million, God paid 100 billion. Amen. Jesus is an overpayment. He's an overpayment. Because if the animal blood could do this, he said, neither by the blood of goats or bulls, but by his own blood, sir, he entered once to obtain eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and of the ashes of an heifer sprinkling to the unclean purifies to the flesh, it does a purification to the flesh, much more, how much more the blood of Christ, who offered it through the eternal spirit, purge your conscience from dead works. It means that the reason why you are suspecting the blood of Jesus is because your mind is still thinking about bulls and goats. And the last time I checked, that's what Paul was addressing the Christians in the land of Israel. He said to the Jews in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, he said, when you have come to knowledge, there is therefore no more sacrifice for sin. He was not saying when you sin, there's a sin you sin, God will not forgive. He was telling these guys who were born again, go and study the book of Hebrews. Who kept bringing goats as substitution for Christ? He said, when you come to the truth, you and goats have no business again. There's no more sacrifice, because a perfect sacrifice has been offered. Blessed are the people that know a joyful sound. And once upon a time, this priest, which is Christ, Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9:24, for Christ is entered not into the holy places which are made with hands, but into heaven itself. That means as Aaron entered the earthly tabernacle, Jesus entered the heavenly one. And when he entered the heavenly one, he appeared before God for us. Let me show you a secret today. I'm read the Bible. No. This YouTube and Instagram preaching thing, it won't help. Go back. Because if you don't take care, you see, there's a scripture, sir, that says Christ is at the side of God, forever making intercession for us. He is not praying. His priesthood before God is not prayer. In the Hebrew context of priesthood, when you bring a goat and the goat is dirty, The priest washes the goat before he kills it. If you bring a turtle dove and there are some feathers that are filthy, he plucks it out to present a clean dove to the Lord. So if Jesus is making intercession at the hand of God, he is trying to say, when you come praying in pain and complain and bitterness, you have not forgiven your wife and you are still saying, Lord, I'm not happy with my wife, but please have mercy on me. That prayer you prayed, the Lord removes the bitterness away and he receives your prayer nevertheless. Because if God was going to allow you to pray the way you pray, nobody would get answer. So you are praying out of lust. You are praying out of pain. 2 minutes ago, you broke your fast. When we should fast till 6, you broke at 2. And you said, Lord, I can't, I'm dizzy. Yet after the conference, you still get testimony. The Lord was purifying your prayers. Is somebody here? Yesterday I told you, when you say in Jesus' name, God is answering Jesus, not you. The car came because of Jesus. Because the Latin says, for Jesus' sake. For Jesus' sake. For Jesus' sake. For his sacrifice. Let this car happen. But quickly, let me just show you this. The Bible says Jesus has obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, that word obtains, having obtained, the word is heurisko, where you get the Greek word, Archimedes use. When Archimedes was discovering some scientific processes of distilling and purifying gold, he shouted, Eureka! That's the word obtain. That means when Jesus obtained that redemption, he shouted with excitement. No wonder the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, who for the joy. That means Jesus saw himself shouting, hey! And let me announce to you, the reason why when a soul is won, heaven jubilates, because God was waiting and the angels were standing. 24 elders were waiting for the day heaven will enter jubilation. Because jubilation is from jubilee. So jubilation, the day where this matter of man and God will be solved. So when Jesus died, sir, there was jubilation in the heaven. Heaven was dancing that finally a perfect sacrifice has been achieved. Because all the animals were promissory notes.
Yes.
They were not the main payment.
Yeah.
Man owed. There was a debt on man's conscience. And no amount of payments could solve it. But once upon a time, the real payment appeared. And heaven was satisfied. But before he died, he made a declaration on the cross. In John chapter 19 verse 28, he said, I test that the scriptures might be fulfilled. John 19:28, and he was, some quote Psalm 22, some quote Psalm 69, where he said, they gave me gall for food and they gave me vinegar to drink. But that was not what he was fulfilling. He was fulfilling, because the Bible says in John 19 verse 30, when he now took the vinegar, he said, it is finished. Before they gave him myrrh, in Matthew, they gave him myrrh, he didn't take it. Because myrrh is an anesthetics. When you take it, it numbs pain. So Jesus said, if I die with numbness in my body, I didn't die for their pain. It means if I resurrect, their pain is legal in their life. So I need to feel every pain. I wish I had time to explain to you how Jesus died. They didn't put it in his hand, though. They put it in 5 bones. It's called the metacarpals. There are 5 bones in your wrist. They lock the bone there. So even if he moves the hand, the bone is locked. It can't move. If it was the hand, he could pull it out. It would tear. You'll be free. But it was like that. Number 2, they don't create hole for you. They have standard hole. So they pull your hand. They tie rope to your hands, and they yank it. That's why I said in Psalm 22, all my bones are gone out of place. So Jesus was hanging on the cross with dislocation. His hand was like this. So if you've seen the real picture, they put the bone there. That bone there is connected to a nerve in between these 2 bones. That thing you press like electric shock. It's called the median nerve. It's here. So they put nail on top of it. That's why if you look at some of the pictures, the hand of Jesus is like this. Electrical shock was going through his hand while he was hanging there. Every pain, he felt it. You don't know what was finished. That's why you're accepting nonsense.
Yes, sir.
Do you know why he took the crown of thorns on his head? Because the Bible says in Genesis 3:18, cursed is the ground for your sake, and out of it shall grow thorns and thistles. So Jesus wore your curse. Matthew 13 calls it curse. and the worries of this life. Jesus wore cares and worries as a crown. God cursed Adam, in thy sweat thou shalt eat. That's why his blood turned to sweat. So that even the sweated curse, Jesus had to let blood enter sweat. So that that curse of sweating to eat, blood redeemed it. So the next time you are fighting to eat, the Bible says he keeps his covenant. Psalm 111. And he gives bread and meat to them that are in covenant with him. You must know his finished work. And stand on your right in Christ. He didn't just die like that, sir. After that pain, they were bringing him vinegar. And he says, he took it and he says, Tetelestai. Now, Tetelestai was an announcement that payment has been rendered. Now, in those days, Tetelestai meant the carpenter or the artificer has finished his work. So as soon as he finishes the table or finishes the sword, he just shouts, Tetelestai. It means it's done. It was also a philosophical term that they use at the end of books. You know, when you read a storybook, those days, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and they write, they lived happily after the end. That's how they used to write the end. Their own was Tetelestai. It means the story has ended. It didn't end there. When you owe someone and you carry what you are supposed to pay as your debt and you present it to the accounts man and the amount is checked out to be correct, they stamp your tab, Tetelestai. It means fully paid. And Tetelestai was also used judicially. Anytime a criminal finished serving the sentence, he's brought to the court and he stamped, bam, Tetelestai. It means he's totally finished. You don't know why Jesus resurrected from the tomb. He resurrected according to Romans 4:25 for your justification. You know why? If your friend says, I will serve 10-year prison sentence for you, you will never be comfortable though you are free. Because you know, as long as the sentence has not ended, anything can happen. One day the person can die and they will call it that, sir, your substitute is dead. We need you to finish the sentence. So every time he calls you from prison, say, how many years more? He said, 4 years. Hey, Jesus, you are not in prison, but you are not free. So when Jesus died, he went to prison in hell. But we were still not free. Not because his work was not complete. Bible said he rose up. And rising up means I've finished serving the sentence. And I come home and say, I've been acquitted and discharged. Hello, you will breathe a sigh of relief. Ha, finally. Finally means that now I'm totally free of the sentence. Anywhere I pass, I owe no man. So when he said Tetelestai, it means I have served the full sentence. I wish you knew what happened on the cross. Where God's justice fully met God's love. Jesus became the full embodiment of all humanity's crime. And God did not spare. Stroke by stroke, lash by lash, fire by fire. Jesus took it all for us. And when it was done, he says, before I finish, there's one last thing I have to do. They brought in vinegar. Vinegar in the Greek is the word oxos. Oxos is rotten grapes. He wanted to fulfill Ezekiel 18. That the children, teeth is set on edge because their fathers have eaten sour grapes. So the fathers have drunk vinegar. And the children are suffering the seething of their teeth. Jesus said, if I die this day without drinking this vinegar. Because the Bible said, I test. Saw the scripture. So it was not test because he wanted water. He was drinking vinegar. Sour grapes. So that when he resurrects, you cannot say an ancestral curse is higher than his blood. You are not dealing with an ancestral curse. You are dealing with an ancestral pattern. Everybody in your house shouts. That's why you also shouted. Daddy left the house because your mommy shouted. You too, you learned shouting as the defense of women. And daddy left the house. Demon was not behind though. Habits bring spirits. And when spirits join habits, it becomes habitual. Listen. Let me end this. Okay, let me end this. But tonight, I want this word to just make somebody say, ah, he paid for your sickness. Bible says in Isaiah 53 verse 2, his visage was marred. Jesus became the ugliest man on earth. The Bible says we could not find his generation. It means they beat Jesus to the point where when you look at him on the cross, you can't trace that this is Mary's son. He was disfigured. Flavius Josephus said, in scourging, oftentimes people's gum and lip tissue is on the floor. Because when they throw the scourge, it's not for your back alone. It wraps your body. It hacks you. And the edge of the scourge is not a cane. It's a scourge. Has stones, has metals, and it hooks your skin and peels it like that. That's why Jesus said in Psalm 22, I can see my bones staring at me. They beat him till cartilage was showing. In fact, Peter uses the Greek word malope, by his blows. Remember what he said in the book of Psalms? He said, my back has been dug like they plow a field. So Jesus' back was not stripes. It was a plowed back. Deep wounds. And he was dripping blood everywhere. All this, and you are still saying it's not enough. All this, and you are entertaining this, your pain. All this, and you are entertaining this poverty. He didn't die for dwarfs and pygmies. He died for mighty men who understand what has been paid for. He bled. He himself carried your grief. The chastisement of your peace was upon his head. The Bible even said in Isaiah 53 verse 10, he became your guilt. So on the day Jesus died, your guilt died. That is why it's illegal for a child of God to walk in guilt. The Holy Ghost does not make you guilty. He reproves. Even the world, he reproves. The Christian, he convicts. Hey. So that voice that tells you that you're a sinner, but that's devil. That's devil. Because Satan knows what has been paid for. God will not waste his payment by condemning you. Because the Bible says, who is he that condemns? God rather justifies you. If you've ever heard true repentance after prayer, you say, Lord, I'm sorry for falling. The Lord said, it's okay. Rise up, let's go. That's how God talks. God does not repeat yourself. I've been telling you, I've been telling you. You'll miss your blessing. No, Satan is talking. He's speaking things so that you are always afraid from coming to God. It's been paid for. But let me just show you one last thing he did. After he suffered all these things, just like Bible said, he himself entered. When he entered, like I told you, a priest must make a sound. Ah, and Jesus, we have not heard your sound yet. Because you see, when Aaron entered and was making sound, in verse 34 of Exodus 28, the Bible says the garment of his robe was pomegranate bell. Pomegranate bell. So when Aaron was walking, you hear chikirin, 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 chikirin. And as soon as you hear the sound, the priest take the yobel. Isn't it amazing? In Joshua chapter 6 verse 4, take seven trumpets of the ram's horn. And go run about Jericho. Don't say anything. Because the last time we spoke, Joshua remembered. 10 spoke against, 2 spoke for, and we lost the inheritance. So this time around, nobody should talk. And on top of Jericho, sir, they are going round and they are just blowing your bell. Do you know your bell? The Bible said in Genesis chapter 22, verse 13, and when he told Moses, Abraham, that because of what you have done, you have provoked a certain thing in me. You didn't withhold your own son. He turned his back, sir, and he saw a ram whose horn was caught in the thicket. That word ram's horn is yobel. It's the ram's horn. And you cannot get the ram's horn if you are, at least you are here, you know how to kill sheep and goat. That ram's horn, you cannot get it onto the sheep or the ram dies. That means the rebel was actually sounding the finished work of Jesus. So when they went to Jericho, he said, nobody should talk. Blow the yobel. The ram is dead. The lamb of God is dead. Ooh, the one. The lamb of God is dead. Ooh, the two. He said, don't talk. When you are faced with overwhelming, defeating situation, don't talk. Don't even pray. Kneel down and start hearing the sound of the finished work. Start hearing the sound of what Jesus has purchased. Start hearing the sound of the sacrifice on the cross. It is by doing that, all of a sudden, that mountain will begin to crumble by itself. But alas, he made it to heaven. He entered that heavenly temple, which is in heaven, sir, itself. And when he entered, He says, when I go to the Father, I will send you the promise. So when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all gathered with one accord. And suddenly, there came a mighty rushing sound. So the day of Pentecost was the sound of the accepted offering reaching the church. I came to announce to you, anytime you say Rakutakatakaba, you are emphasizing the joyful sound that the sacrifice has been received. Because the Bible said, here on earth men receive tithe, but there in heaven he received them, testifying he's alive. He said, when I go, I'll send you the promise. The reason why there are two things the church is fighting about, tithe and tongues, is because they are the very thing that shows the sacrifice was accepted. So when you say katuka pati kataya, it means he made it to the Father, sir, and he has sent me the promise. Tonight, I want to tell you something. Your sickness is not the problem. You have decided to entertain it. Because on the side of God, it's finished. How many of you here have ever prayed to God, Lord, my back, oh, and God said, it's done. And you're like, so what do you mean, sir? Because you see, Holy Ghost was witness in Hebrews chapter 10 to the offering Jesus offered on the cross. God saw his son die. God saw his son bleed. There is nothing you will go through that will make him change what he saw. That's why he said, Lord, help me. He will say, you are helped. You're like, ah, Lord, I said, I'm in pain. He said, the pain is gone. He said, what do you mean? He said, I was there. I was reconciling the world in my son. So that pain he felt, I am well aware. So if it is on your body, I didn't permit it. So if you want me to lie and deny what I saw, I can't. For me, God, I saw my son die. For me, God, I saw him bear your grief. For me, God, I saw him carry your sorrows. For me, God, I saw that his stripes has already healed you. So if you are asking me to condone and change my confession because you are in pain, I can't. The best I'll tell you is, Lord, my pain, oh, God said, is gone. Because I was there when it was taken away. Tetelesta. It's been paid for. It's been paid for. Who is allowing things that have been paid for to harass you tonight? I saw the Lord healing a lot of people tonight. No, I'm serious. I'm serious. Whatever you are going through tonight, I want you to just tell the Lord, Lord, I know the joyful sound today. And that joyful sound, Jesus made it to God. He sent us a mighty rushing sound. That sound came to us from heaven because the heavenly temple received the blood. And when you receive the blood, Barhamoko Zaitabanda, where Satan stood has been washed away. All my sins and handwritings that were laid against me in the docket of heaven has been blotted out of the way. What prevents me today but myself? What holds me back from working the finished work but my ego? That's why he said, how can we work the works of God? He said, you do nothing but believe in him that has sent me. What he's trying to say is that all the works of God begins when you know this work has already been finished. And if it has been finished, we are just reliving and re-stepping in the same footprints of Jesus Christ. If you are sick in any part of your body, I want you to stand to your feet. Just stand to your feet. Anywhere you are, if you are sick and you can feel pain in your body, stand to your feet. This is an... I want you to practice something today. Just a very simple thing you do. Oh, I want you to begin to see Jesus and anything you are going through. I want you to, no, everyone close your mind. Can you close your eyes, sorry? Close your eyes a bit. Just close your eyes a bit. I want you to just see that this pain you are feeling in your left leg, your chest, whatever it is you are going through, just see Jesus feeling it right now. Just see Jesus feeling it. And as you begin to see it, I want you to reckon. Reckon. That he died with you so that whatever kills you, he carried. And whatever makes him alive in resurrection, he left with you. So when he rose up with you, he took away what can kill you out of your body and took it for himself. Because he's the resurrection and the life. I want you to just see it. Hey, man,
Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah. I curse every source, I curse every cause of this pain, this sickness, this disease. I take authority over the crown of your head to the sole of your feet because of the finished work of Christ. I propel you by the energy of the Holy Ghost into your experience of healing waters. Relax and let's go. Relax and let's go. Every fear that is holding you back. Now, you devil, that has caused this constant appearing of this predicament. Any spirit behind any medical condition, get out. Now, you spirit of asthma, leave now. You spirit of high blood pressure, anything that has attached itself by the invitation of fear, I command you to leave their bodies. Leave! 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 And therefore, Lord, now in Jesus' name, anyone that has struggled with any type of infirmity, I command your healing power to take over now. I command you free. I declare you healed. Now begin to walk in that liberty. Do what you couldn't do before. Just do what you couldn't do before. Now open your eyes and do what you couldn't do before. Do what you could. It's an instruction. Do what you couldn't do before. If you find the slightest change, slip your hand up quickly. If you find the slightest change, slip your hand up. What happened to you, my dear? Come, 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 come. Do what you couldn't do before. Can someone get a mic for me and just find out some people? Please, if you can find relief, just walk to me. This is, I've preached a lot of times. If God tells me to do it, I do it. If you can find change in your body as I'm speaking, your head, you don't feel the pain, your back, you don't feel the pain, the swelling in your leg, you don't feel the pain, your heart, your chest, whatever it is you can find change in, please come to me right now. Come to me. Please come to me. Quickly, 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 quickly. If you can find change in your body, I gave instruction, do what you couldn't do before. Some people are just standing there. Do what you couldn't do before. Press that pain. Press your tummy. Press it. Oh, come on. Come on. Come on. Please let me know what happened. What happened? Quickly, 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 quickly. Quickly.
It's good.
Quickly. Quickly. What happened to you?
I've been having back pain.
For how long?
I can't remember how long.
It's been years?
It's been a while.
Okay.
And some recently I've had some burns
in your tongue
around my abdomen and all. And even this evening I was feeling the same way. But when you said we should behold and we should just, so I don't know, I just began to envision it, and I could just see that Jesus had carried it, and literally, I'm fine. Yes, sir.
No, listen. When prophets minister, it's not what we do today for sure. Prophets are supposed to use their ministration for teaching. It's teaching apparatus. So I'm calling for healing so you hear how people can be healed. You can do this in your house. It's not a service. You can do it in your house. Just, you start feeling pain in your tummy. You start feeling this running sensation. Just begin to imagine Jesus. And one day I told Holy Ghost, I said, this whole dewormer business, I can't do it. Because out of my belly, sir, must flow rivers. That same belly cannot have worms. So anytime I feel like these are symptoms of worm infestation, I just begin to imagine out of my belly, rakota, katabosaya. Within 2 minutes, I'm fine. What happened to you there? Quickly. The Lord has healed you permanently in Jesus' name. Yes, quickly. I'm not taking every testimony, but
I was having back pain and my neck was stiff. It was really
painful.
How
long has it been?
I can't remember the back, but the neck started just of recent.
Okay.
And I was feeling pain. Even I have to go out because the pain was severe. I was really feeling the pain. But when you say we should imagine how Jesus carried the pain, I saw him carrying the pain. And the relief, up to now, I'm feeling like they're still walking. Like,
hallelujah.
The relief, like, is going
hallelujah.
Down. I can't feel any pain.
Oh, praise God.
The pain is gone.
Hallelujah. We bless Jesus for that. There's a lady with a child. This child has been in and out of hospital business. I don't know why. The Holy Ghost just told me, he says that anything that child ingested that is creating that problem. Because I'm seeing distended belly, the stomach can get swollen, then it comes down, swollen, comes down. I end that oppression of darkness in the name of Jesus. That healing is permanent, that child is healed. Just touch that child and declare over them, Jesus heals you. That's all. Yes, what happened to you, my dear? I'm not taking on the testimony, so I don't praise take God. Too much time. Yes.
So it was in the course of the service, though, that my head started aching. So my head had been aching even while I was sitting down and doing the praise and everything. So he just said we should envision Jesus. He said we should close our eyes. I was just about to close my eyes. I saw someone walk past me and touch me. Actually, nobody walked past. So I just saw someone walk past and touch me. Then my head just feel light and I opened my eyes and it's I could not see anybody.
You can't find it. The pain is also gone.
Yes,
sir. We perfect this healing in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Anyone else? My dear, were you using a stick to walk? Walk to me. What's happening to you now? How long has this been? 2 years. You broke your leg or your hip or something? You broke your leg. So you feel pain?
Yes, on my knee.
You on your knee?
Yeah.
Okay. Give the stick to somebody. Do this. Do it again. Please, where's the pain? Where's the pain? Listen. We perfect. These are just demonstrations to tell you what happens when Jesus tells you the truth. This thing about healing is not show. It's bread. Is this? Listen, the church should come to a place. Healing service should be the shortest service. Because as soon as anybody is sick, check yourself. Woo! Everybody is fine. 100% results. You can't find the pain. It's not there.
No.
You are surprised. Oh, Jesus heals you. Father, we declare every healing, every word. Because we know the joyful sound. Let miracles begin to multiply from tonight. Let our liberty to celebrate and walk with God. Let the countenance of your light manifest fully in our days. In Jesus' precious mighty name, everyone give the Lord a shout of praise.
Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.